Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. When John Bidwell became the Chubb Group of Insurance Company's first ever Chief Innovation Officer, his mission was to increase the speed, pace, and profitability of Chubb's products and services. Bidwell realized the best way to generate innovation as quickly as possible was to tap into the company's 10,000 employees, those who have firsthand experience about what could make the organization work better. The conservative culture at Chubb gave way to a radical program that tapped into the company's internal resources, generating thousands of ideas for organizational improvement. John, welcome to Edgewise.
Thank you, Dave. It's great to be here.
John, to begin with, before you were put in charge of innovation, what was the state of innovation at Chubb?
I would describe the state as good. Chubb has actually always been a highly innovative company, and a lot of products and services in common use today were invented or the market was led by Chubb. High net worth personal insurance, professional liability coverages, even the old commercial multi-peril package policy, which is the standard, was actually invented by Chubb back in 1965. But the issue that we were trying to address was that in the marketplace today, with the velocity of capital, the speed with which a company can get capitalized up and running in our business, the dramatically lower costs of technology to give a relatively small company a national or global reach, and the number of segments and products, Chubb writes, we really needed to increase the velocity with which we could do small innovations on existing products, but also try to find those next evolutions or disruptions within the marketplace and actually be able to get products and services or distribution methods out to meet those.
Interesting.
But the issue was new ideas were subject to annual budgets. The idea might come up, but it might be off the budget cycle. So it would have to wait until it could get perhaps vetted and put into the next budget. They were very stovepipe dependent. There was the velocity that really was the primary issue. Idea generation is pretty easy. The speed with which you could build an idea out and actually get it from idea to an actual business concept that you could take into the marketplace was really too slow.
Okay, now tell me a little bit about the day you became Chief Innovation Officer. What were the goals you were given at that time?
The smart thing that Chubb did, and this was very much a board and executive committee driven initiative, was they didn't try to manage all of the details of the goals we were given. After a board meeting where the funding and approach was approved, we had a challenge to have a global innovation event looking for means of profitable growth, ready to go to 10,000 employees worldwide within 116 days, I think would have been the exact count. That was a daunting challenge. So we really got right to the point of having to actually innovate what we were doing as we went along.
And this was a global initiative.
Correct. There were a couple of characteristics about it. First, our initial event was global. We've subsequently done multiple smaller scale events, but it was global. So you needed to have some type of technology base to allow you to manage the flow of ideas.
Right.
You solicit ideas, but what you really do is rely on the fact that 10,000 employees represents a huge intellectual property base.
Yeah.
And what you want to do is tap into them to get as much as you possibly can of their viewpoints. It could be on technology, contract design, size of market, potential profitability, competitors, to get all that information very fast versus a traditional product development process that's very, very linear, where you move stage to stage to stage on a centralized basis. And our goal is to see how that impacted the speed with which we could actually move things through the system.
John, tell us more about this program, Idea Central.
We licensed a platform. It allows people to get in very easily, submit an idea. Everybody has access to see the idea. It allows commentary, threaded commentary, attachment of documents or articles or things that may be pertinent, voting, and then it has evaluation tools built in. Because as I said earlier, generating new ideas is easy. Sifting through a large portfolio of new ideas to actually find the ones that are most promising, which will always be a very small percentage, is the difficult part. And having that ability to build scoring mechanisms, recommendation mechanisms, tracking mechanisms into the process is absolutely critical. That's the beginning of the really hard work of innovation.
Now, I would think equally important, even at a company that had been open to ideas, is encouraging people to utilize Idea Central and share their ideas.
Yes.
Does that involve a communications program?
Communications is absolutely critical. It's probably the most underappreciated and underplanned aspects. When I talk to peers that do this, and you look at cases where these processes don't work well, generally your root cause is communications. One of the very critical steps we took at Chubb was to make certain that this was not presented as an initiative or something that landed into our firm from Mars. It was presented as a logical next step in our strategy. And that meant that starting with members of the board of directors, through all of our executive committee members, including the CEO, messaging on this was effectively embedded into normal communications, as well as special communications about this. So if our CEO was speaking to one of our employee resource groups, he would have a presentation that we do, state of Chubb, strategy, goals, objectives. Innovation was worked into that. We provided that kind of context on multiple levels, small team meetings. We gave materials out to people. Everyone had a context to understand why they were doing that. So it was part of the message.
So that meant managers would be talking to their teams as well.
Yes, we would have managers convene team meetings. Branch managers would have meetings with all the folks in their branch, different service groups within home office. Our executives do extensive town hall meetings after each quarterly earnings report. This would be part of the town hall discussion they would have with employees on some of our larger work sites. One of the things you have to do is make this a natural part of the business strategy, and it was presented thus. If you present it as just the thing that dropped in from Mars, people don't have that anchor point to look at and say, oh, I understand why this is important.
John, is there a time limit or is it a continuous process?
It is a continuous process in the sense that we are constantly running what we call innovation events around different problems or business challenges. We time delineate the idea generation part because you have to actually run the ideas through a disposition process. That is absolutely critical. We could generate thousands of ideas very easily, but you need to stop after a point. What you have to do is get them through a funnel effectively where you take, say, 500 ideas and you methodically reduce those to the 4, 5, or 6 that are most likely to be successful in the marketplace. If you don't do that, the message you send back to your employee base is you really don't value the ideas. And your messaging and communications have to be very clear that every idea isn't necessarily a good idea per se, but the only way you get good ideas is to get a lot of them. Quite often, we've had great success where we've combined or consolidated multiple ideas about a particular topic from people all over the world, not co-located, haven't had an opportunity to collaborate except by this means. From this, we have a picture of what we want to do.
All right. When we talk about innovation, everybody seems to think we're talking about new products. It seems you weren't limiting yourself to that.
No, we're not. Our definition of innovation is very, very broad. When we are looking at products or product changes, you really look at two buckets of activity. There is tremendous progress that you can make simply in sustaining innovations. That's a Clayton Christensen term that I'll borrow, where you're taking existing products or distribution methods and you're tweaking them. You're adding a little bit here, or you're adding a feature that's missing to a customer segment that you're already doing a lot of business with. But you're looking for those things to keep your product and service set current in the marketplace or ahead of the marketplace. What you'll also find as you get deeper into idea generation is that you will also generate ideas, again, to borrow from Christensen, I'll call disruptors. And frankly, they often seem pretty strange or wacky at the time and can often be very controversial. But when you start to dig into them, you realize these are the ideas that will be the mainstay of the firm 10 years from now. And you need to find ways to nurture them and move them along so that you actually do have those tested and you've learned about them and ready to have them go to market at the appropriate time. It's a different process than with the sustainers. But we're also increasingly using the tool and the methodology just to solve business process problems, efficiency problems. We're now starting to use the tool to co-design with some of our distributors or insurance brokers certain processes and features we want to basically revamp. We can do that on a collaborative basis, real time, versus the old model of come up with a straw man of, for example, your billing process, and then show it to some people, get some comments, and then go back to the lab. Well, with tools like this, you can do that on a constant basis. You can impanel people and have your customers helping you design what the process and the end part is going to look like.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Could you expand on that a little bit?
Yes. The general model we followed on most of our innovation events is a cross-functional facilitation model. Instead of having ideas only looked at by people within a particular business unit or discipline where we think they apply, we'll put together teams, and they're done on an ad hoc basis.
Right.
Another management commitment we received was to put our best high potential employees onto these teams, but we draw people from across disciplines and geographies. So we will have people with underwriting background, information technologies background, claims background, operational background, general counsel, finance, all different areas within the firm, marketing, sales, distribution, management. And when we open the event, we follow a very aggressive facilitation model. So the expectation for those people on the team is they will devote 2 to 4 hours a day. Generally, we ask beginning of day, end of day, going in, looking at the ideas, going back to the idea authors, asking questions around their area of expertise, using the forwarding and networking features within the tool to push the ideas to people that they know within the firm who may, in fact, know something about it. Then you move to the evaluation process with 14 or 15 people on your team who've got a broad familiarity. That is the team that will then go through and actually do the scoring of the ideas to call out which part of the portfolio moves to the next stage.
Tell me a little bit about the scoring process.
We use standard business metrics. Is this a large market? Are there a lot of customers? Are there competitors? Is there a high, low, medium degree of information technology complexity in developing this? Do we have a lot of legal concerns that we would have to get through? So very common sense, normal business questions that you would ask.
Okay.
Innovation is, I would say, 60% process and science and about 40% P.T. Barnum.
Of course.
What we then do is take the top-ranking pool of ideas and we move them to what we call a pitch round. We'll take the folks who generated the ideas, one or more of the members of the cross-functional team that may have some expertise in that area, and their job over a 4 to 6 week period is to put together a 15-minute pitch to sell the idea. And we usually use Chubb's boardroom for this. They get up in front of the room and have 15 minutes to state their case. So it forces them to be very, very focused. It's not a business case per se. We're not asking for financial models. State your case. 15 minutes of Q&A. And then we have a second scoring model that's a little more detailed that's up on everybody's laptop in the room, and we run a real-time tote board effectively on the ideas as we go through each one in the portfolio over the course of that day. From that, we'll select a much smaller group, generally 2, 3, 4 ideas, 5 ideas, that actually move on, and we develop a case of how we would bring that to market, what it would cost, benchmarks, more detailed market sizing, the things that you would need to have to operationalize. That then goes to our venture funding team, which has access to a separate pool of capital set aside for these ideas, and they will present their business case about 8 weeks later to that group, and they get a yes, it's a go, and under what terms, and get a term sheet. No, it's not, you haven't convinced us. Or there can be a third category of we have very specific questions we want answered in a short period of time in order to make a decision, but they must be specific. They can't be go study it some more, but simply I don't understand the technology build. Please explain in more detail and we'll recirculate that. So you provide a process that can take 600-700 ideas to 4 funded business cases in 4 months. Which for Fortune 500 company is light speed.
Now, as the Chief Innovation Officer, what is your responsibility for this process?
My primary responsibility is to provide the playing field and the rules and the referees and the game equipment. For innovation to succeed, it can't be an ivory tower exercise. It's very grassroots. So you want a process that is always involving your best and brightest people and training them. One of the critical things we've chosen to do is also do things like, for example, tomorrow I will be spending all day listening to pitches from our own internal business school attendees because we chose to run three events around each of the three business schools. And these are high potential employees that go away for a week to a mini MBA type program. Well, this year we've devoted 20% of the training to innovation. And then we're having them run a revenue generating event, each team competing against the other two teams. And the prize is the winning idea from each team gets pitched to my venture capital team with the opportunity to be implemented. But what you do is you teach everybody every aspect of the process by having to go through it as a self-contained team of 40 to 50 people. So one of the important roles I have is to embed this as much as possible within the organization. You teach people the methodology, the thought patterns. That's what makes it sustainable over the long run. Doing everything for people doesn't. That's why we have the rotating team. So we keep a relatively small group of about four people devoted to providing the playing field and the rules. And then we go out and we experiment with different types of audiences, different types of challenges or problem statements to solve to see what happens.
So, John, what's planned for the future of this program?
We have events running right now. We're actually going out to all of our non-US employees, pulling 30 ideas that came from the original event that didn't make it quite to the top and reframing them, sort of pulling up all the commentary and rewriting the ideas, putting those into a new event and going back out to our international branches. We have several process problem-solving events planned. We're also looking to go externally in a non-US jurisdiction to some of our brokers to basically replicate what we did for our personal insurance division in the US back in June to allow them to submit their ideas on product and service enhancements.
And so those who participate in this program are actually taking an active role in what Chubb does. Doesn't that help motivate them to do more?
Yes, it does. But it's critical that you provide that disposition process because that's what really keeps people engaged. We've learned a lot about that doing it. I'll give you an example. When we did our first external event with personal insurance producers, we received many ideas around expanding our product offering to a particular customer segment. When we did our original event with our own employees, there were a number of employees that submitted similar ideas that were much less fleshed out and actionable. They did provide some very interesting feedback for the producer's ideas. The producers were able to do a very good job of framing it in an actionable way, so we decided to move on to pilot that. Well, we went back to 22 of the people that submitted similar ideas in our employee event, and they're actually helping to do discrete pieces of market research, competitor research, mystery shopping with competitors, various other components of the project that we're working on with the producers. So we've pulled them back in because we keep all of this in a database. We can always go back in and we can see all of the ideas around social media and different uses that have come in. And we can pull those back up so we don't keep rediscovering the same things over and over again. So it gives you flexibility and builds an intellectual capital base that you wouldn't otherwise have.
John, do you have any concluding thoughts you want to leave our audience with?
I think one of the critical things is this notion of thinking of it as problem solving, and that there are many, many applicabilities for the methods. You can innovate around your internal processes. You can innovate around products. You can innovate around a lot of things. It's about velocity, openness, transparency, and engagement of your employee workforce.
Sure.
One of the most interesting events that we ever did. This was done very quickly. It was a 3-week duration. We pulled 52 of our summer interns from various departments together. And we said, based on your experience, 5 weeks at Chubb, tell us how we could utilize different forms of social media in our business. We got 42 ideas in 5 days. We put together teams and took the top five, then put together pitches in 1 week. And then we pulled half of our executive committee that was available, this was during the summer, as well as a number of other senior officers, our head of human resources, into a room. And we actually presented it as a reverse mentoring project where they were teaching our folks why these technologies should be part of our business. I would say in terms of, for example, all of the work we're now doing in social media, that was one of the pivotal points because we had 19-year-olds putting up mock-ups of different types of sites and tools they would use or would expect to see if they were working for a company like Chubb or if they were a customer of Chubb. It crystallized in a two-hour period for folks who had, in some cases, very little familiarity with this. That just gives you an example of how, if you cleverly employ these tools, you can use them to really put leverage on key things in your business that you need to advance.
Right.
And then we've moved very, very rapidly since then. We've convened groups, we've experiments and pilots going on. More has happened in the subsequent 4.5 months than did in the prior 2 years. And I would view that as that pivot point in it. So people need to keep a very open and broad mind when they're thinking about how you employ innovation tools and techniques.
Our guest today has been John Bidwell, who is the Chief Innovation Officer for the Chubb Group of Insurance Companies. John, thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
With only an internet connection and a browser, you can tap into AMA's world-class training. The American Management Association is bringing live instructor-led training right to your desktop. AMA's new virtual seminar offering features a live virtual format that is highly interactive and very user-friendly. It's taught by the same expert, world-class faculty that run our classroom sessions, and the high-quality content has been specially engineered to run in an online format. You get real-time online interaction with your course leader and your fellow attendees. You will receive a USB headset so that you can not only listen but talk to your classmates and your instructor. So take advantage of these offerings, enhance your career journey by building your skills, and you don't have to take any time away from the office. For more information about AMA's virtual seminar offering, visit our website at www.amanet.org. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.